Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, Infowars.com, band.video. I really hope you're following us on X. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. You can follow Infowars, at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live. Make sure you're following us on X because whatever happens in Infowars and everything's up in the air and constantly changing. So I don't even have an update for you, but you're going to want to follow us on X to make sure that you're getting any updates as they arrive. Plus, spread them around. Send them around. You know, I don't blame people, but probably 90% of our audience, they don't even watch the shows. They just see the clips. And that's just the way it is. I know. We could probably do a better job ourselves of like pumping clips out, but you can do it. You can get all the likes in the world. You can monetize your site. I mean, everything we do is free to air. Everything can be clipped out and chopped up, and that's how people end up seeing it. I mean, just the way it is. They just don't watch the whole show. I don't blame them. I mean, they should. I mean, they should be watching the show, absolutely, but most people just see the clips. So if you can share the clips and just retweet the stuff, like the stuff, it pumps it up the algorithm. You are tangibly contributing to this effort to rescue the world from, you know, mass death, slavery, and just systematic technocratic control that clearly the New World Order is hell-bent on bringing about. So please do support us at thealexjonesstore.com is the best way to do it, but we understand. If money's tight, we don't take it for granted. We know our audience are hardworking Americans, and we appreciate any contribution you do make, of course, and we try to be worthy of it. But you know, it's free. Clicking that share button, clicking the retweet button, liking a post, and that really does help, especially when everybody gets involved and does it. And you have seen the change that we have wrought in the world around us. I mean, it is really, it's impossible to overstate how different the world is today than it was 20 years ago, and just how important Alex Jones in particular has been in that transformation. Now, I want to go to a video here as a follow-up to the video that we played yesterday from the woman, Nakia, and we showed her talking about scams that people run, the Somalians in particular, in Columbus, Ohio, and then showed that they'd been harassing her in the middle of the night. Well, a man has gone and actually investigated this in Columbus, Ohio, and confirmed exactly what she was saying about the scams that take place with these legal immigrant families and the businesses they run. Let's watch.
Oh yeah, the Somalians have it figured out in Columbus. I went to the Walmart on Georgesville to see if I could see people filling their carts or just kind of see what I could see. It's not the way they do it. They've got it figured out way better than that. Every single Somali restaurant has a grocery store right next door or within eyeshot of the restaurant. The specific one I went into today had it attached to the restaurant. And wow, what an adventure that was. Stay tuned for more on that. Anyways, the grocery store and the restaurant were the same building. So they don't have to go to a Walmart or a Sam's Club or a Costco necessarily. They can just order everything they need to their grocery store that's right next to or attached to the restaurant that they also own and never have to fill a single cart. And I guarantee you, if you looked at the records of those grocery stores, they lose tons of money every year, and it's probably used as a tax write-off because those groceries are being funneled into those restaurants, with a daycare center on the opposite side. And that's the common trend you'll see. There's restaurants, grocery stores, and daycare centers, and also home health care businesses. I can't forget the home health care businesses. Nakia was absolutely right. And the reason for the daycare centers, I found out while I was at Walmart. 3/4 of the workers I saw working in Walmart, especially the cashiers, were Somali women. You got to figure, if you have 2 or 3 wives that you don't have to claim, these women can go work at Walmart full-time for $15 an hour and still qualify for food stamps, as long as they have a couple kids, which you can guarantee you they at least have 2 kids. Hell, they average 7. Or same story as working as a home health care aide. They have most definitely figured out the system and how to take advantage of it. And Columbus doesn't break down its numbers like Minnesota. But if anything like the 88% of the Somali community is on social services in Columbus, I can only imagine how deep the fraud is. So I'm changing tactics and going back up Monday, and I have a couple ideas to see if I can't sniff a few things out. Thanks for tuning in. Keep it icy.
Keep it icy. So again, I'm not accusing any of those companies being involved in fraud, but if you look around, you do see it. Even if you don't look around, you'll see it if you pay attention. Now, we'll be back on the other side with Florida governor candidate.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final hour of The War Room is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the InfoWars studios here in Austin, Texas. Please do share the links, InfoWars.com, band.video. Share the links on X as well. And we are very happy to welcome my guest, James Fishback. He's running to succeed Ron DeSantis as Florida's next Republican governor. He's a fourth-generation Floridian running to make life more affordable for Floridians and their family. You can find his website at fishback2026.com. Follow him on X at @J_Fishback. Mr. Fishback, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Harrison. Great to be here.
It's my pleasure to have you, and I'm excited to have you here. And I got to admit, I didn't know what to make of you at first because you were suddenly everywhere and you were saying all the right things. And maybe I just have this, you know, the American sort of beaten dog syndrome where when I see somebody offering me a treat, I have questions. So, you know, I hadn't heard of you, frankly.
And well, to be fair, Harrison, it's called Vivek skeptical syndrome these days as well.
That would be a very good.
You get a rash, you know, there's a Christmas crash out. Understandably, everyone has a right to be skeptical these days.
Yeah, because you're everywhere and you're giving these speeches and it's like, okay, this guy's got some sort of, you know, he's surveilling my brain or something. Like, you were so right about everything that I'm suspicious. And maybe that's more of an indictment of our entire political sphere. But where'd you come from, sir? Who are you? Give us your pitch so people can get to know you, where you came from and what inspired you to run for governor.
Yeah, born and raised in South Florida. I now live in the panhandle in a town called Madison of a couple thousand people. The last 10 years I spent as an investor standing up to Wall Street. I was actually the sole author of an amicus brief this summer that was submitted and accepted by the U.S. Supreme Court defending President Trump's right to fire corrupt federal officials like Lisa Cook. And so my background for most of this year has really been channeling my investment firm, Azoria, upwards of $40 million of capital into firms doing the noble thing, which is avoiding DEI and investing based on merit, avoiding gender and race-based investing, and investing on skill and talent. And so my background is not a politician. I did kind of come out of nowhere because the background that I've focused on my career has been as an investor. But over the last year or so, I've taken a more prominent role in speaking about the economic issues afflicting the country, in particular, the great replacement of American workers. The H-1B scam is a disgrace. The idea that a company can fire or not even hire an American in the first place and then turn around and import a boatload of Indians who are going to work at half the wage at twice the number of hours, that's exploiting our system. And so I'm in this race principally because there is a war on Americans and we have to fight back. It's really tough, Harrison, to be an American in America. It's very easy to be an H-1B in America. You get a free job, you get healthcare. Very easy to be an illegal. You get an Obama phone, you get EBT, you get SNAP, you get a free hotel. But if you're an American, how dare you? How dare you have a right to exist in your own country? And so I'm in this race to be the America first, Florida first conservative, to stand up for your rights, to do two things, to preserve the incredible wins from one Governor Ron DeSantis, the keeping Florida free from radical transgenderism, DEI, Soros-backed prosecutors, working to keep our 50-year low in crime and to tackle crime in some of our urban hotspots, And then number two, make life more affordable. How do we do that? Well, right off the bat, if you can't have a job, you can't literally afford anything. And so we have to end the H-1B scam. I'm not going to wait for the do-nothings in Congress to do that. I'm going to use the full power of the state government to defenestrate the H-1B scam by using the power of our state contracts to tell firms, look, you can keep your H-1Bs or you can keep your state contract, you pick, but I'm not negotiating and you have 24 hours. Number two, I'm going to ban Blackstone, BlackRock, Airbnb, and foreign nationals from Canada and China from buying up our homes because Harrison in Florida, home ownership is for families. It's not for private equity or for hedge funds. We got to protect the dignity of home ownership for the next generation. My dad was growing up in South Florida in the 1960s. Half of 30-year-old men were married and owned their home. Right. Today, less than 15% are married and own their home. And this is not a highfalutin hypothetical issue. If you can't own your home, you can't get married. If you can't get married, you can't have kids. If you can't have kids, what's the point? And so there is an existential war being fought right now. And look, it's not between left versus right, between Republican versus Democrat. It's between right versus wrong. The uniparty globalist establishment that InfoWars, thank God you guys exist. You're calling them out every single freaking day. The uniparty establishment and regular Americans who want nothing more than protect in our sovereignty. And that's why I'm in this race.
See, it's like you why are you saying all of the right things? What is this? How are you, I love it. And I guess my question is, what is wrong with the Republicans? Because everything you said seems so true and so imminently obvious and observable. Who cares about the stock market if you can't buy a house? Like, those are the stats that really matter and really impact people, not just in their lives, like you point out, like this hopelessness, but the hopelessness itself, right? People aren't even going to try to achieve something if it's been proven to them that it's impossible anyway. Like, you need the hope, you need the reality of a good situation to reach for to inspire people. All of this seems so obvious, and yet Republicans, whether it's H-1B or BlackRock buying homes, they just seem totally ignorant that this is even a problem, and then they're mad at you if you point it out. Why can't Republicans get on board with some of this stuff that you mentioned that to people like us seems so obvious, seems so straightforward, and yet you talk to a Republican and suddenly it's, oh, H-1B visas, we'll take care of that. We're going to add on a fine. And it's like, no, we want it gone. And they won't get rid of it. They won't listen to us. Like, what is wrong with the modern Republican Party?
The modern Republican Party is full of feckless losers. I mean, that's the absolute truth. Yeah, that's true. It's a party of slaves, Harrison. They're slaves to their donors, slaves to AIPAC, slaves to corporate interests, slaves to big tech. They're slaves to MAG-7. They should be slaves to MAGA. They should be slaves to the America First movement, waking up on what they can do for us. But no. And I'll tell you, the perfect example of this is my primary opponent. We are within a 10-point margin of victory. Look, the polls mean nothing now, but I was relieved to see that we are actually in a very credible spot, despite only being in the race for 15 days. My opponent, Byron Donalds, I call him H1 Byron. I call him the slave because he is a slave to these corporate interests. And the truth of the matter is that you are either on the side of America First or you're not. There's no in between. There's no negotiating. There is no tactical concession. The truth is you either stand with American workers or you don't. Byron Donalds, 3 weeks ago, when speaking to college students at the University of Florida, where I actually was last week, he said that we need the H-1B program in the meantime because, quote, Americans are not economically viable. Economically viable, Harrison. That is a term straight out of Larry Fink's WEF Davos WTF manual. That is weird. That is actually weird to refer to your fellow countrymen as economically viable or not. And this is the very problem. This is the slanderous lie that Vivek peddled to us at this Christmas crash out, that no, we're just lazy. We're just retarded. We're just dumb. No. The system is rigged against Americans. And I'm sorry, I'm 30 years old. My generation will not have a country if we don't fight back. We are sick and tired of these companies coming here and saying, you know what? Americans aren't smart enough. First off, how on earth would you know? You don't even interview Americans for these roles. I met with a young man from Florida State University a couple weeks ago, submitted 117 resumes, Harrison, most of the resumes to a single company, Amazon, and he hasn't heard back from one. He's the top of his class in computer science, hasn't gotten one call back, let alone an interview, let alone a job offer. Why? Because he's white, he's male, he's American, he's not an H-1B. If this guy all of a sudden said that his name was Siddharth Gupta and he was applying from Calcutta or Mumbai, he'd be at the front of the line. Now, granted, he'd have to receive a lower wage and have to work double time. But at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be America First? If America First is about doing whatever is in the best interest of the stock market or GDP or whatever helps the arbitrary line go up, that is not the America First movement that people signed up for. And so I respect President Trump. I proudly supported him in the 2024 election. But Harrison, I share your frustration, the frustration of the InfoWars audience, the folks that I'm seeing in my state of Florida every single day, that they actually want even more bold action. And one of those areas we're seeing it happen right now is this idea of federal preemption of the AI rule set. What on earth is this? It is our state. It's our soul. I'm a firm believer in states' rights. And you can't have the federal government run by the tech bros, run by the Indians, come down here and build AI data centers. Harrison, this is not a hypothetical. The AI data centers in Tennessee, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, they're already jacking up electric bills. They're already threatening the water supply. We have to draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough. Byron Donalds is bought and paid for by AIPAC, corporate donors, and property developers. I am the candidate in this race who will say no to the property developers. No, we're not going to turn our state into New York City or Chicago. No, we don't want more traffic. No, we don't want AI data centers. No, we don't want liquor stores. No, we don't want another self-service car wash. We are a proud, beautiful state with rural beauty, with the Everglades, with the Gulf of America, with the Atlantic Ocean. We don't want to turn our state over to the developers, to the globalist shills. My campaign slogan, Harrison, is Florida is our home. Why? Because it's not their playground, and we know who they is.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, the point and one of the reasons I wanted to bring up how, you know, you sort of came out of nowhere is because it's so impressive that you as somebody with no national name recognition, you don't have the support of the Republican Party. You're not unlike Byron Donalds, who has had all of the legs up he could possibly get. Right. He started off this race 100 yards ahead of you. And yet, according to some polls we saw, and I covered it last week, you're beating him pretty substantially. And so it's like, okay, Byron Donalds, I keep calling him Byron Daniels. I can't remember his name. That's not a good sign for a politician. But, you know, he's got the support of Trump. He's got the endorsement of Trump. He's got years of name recognition. And yet he does things like say, you know, maybe we need a pathway to citizenship. Not in so many words, but essentially that's what, you know, he was promoting. It was one of the videos I showed to illustrate, like, this is why he's losing. All that other stuff doesn't matter. If you miss on the fundamental things that your constituents want, they're not going to vote for you. So I just have found it incredibly impressive and illustrative. And I hope the Republicans are listening, that somebody like yourself, without all of the benefits that Byron Donalds has, is able to, you know, really give him a run for his money. I don't know. I mean, the polls I saw had you at like way ahead of him, so I don't know what they're at now. But I mean, that should be a shot across the bow to Republicans that they need to get their act together.
They do need to, Harrison. And this is a problem with the DEI candidates that the Republican Party has put up in recent years. People like Byron Donalds, like Winston Sears, like Carrie Lake, dare I even say like Vivek Ramaswamy. We want competitive primaries. If Byron Donalds was supposed to win, and I got every call from the White House to Randy Fine, of all people, who was breathing rather heavy while he was eating a bag of Cheez-Its, talking to me on the phone for 42 minutes, right? Badgering me, saying, don't you dare enter this race. Don't you dare. It wouldn't be, quote, nice to Byron for you to do this. I don't care what's nice for Byron. I care what's nice for my state. My great-grandfather first came to Florida after World War I, where he fought and ran a small motel on Fort Lauderdale Beach. My grandfather ran 750 head of cattle out in Okeechobee County. He was a cattle rancher and then later a college professor. My father proudly drove the city bus in Broward, South Florida, where I was born and raised. So enough of this pandering, enough of this DEI. I don't care if he's black. I don't care anything about him. What I care is, do we have an America First, Florida First fighter who's actually in this race? And when you're going around calling our people not economically viable. He said that Haitian migrants are, quote, integral to Florida in January of 2025. In November of 2024, Harrison, he said that he wants anyone from anywhere to come to Florida so long as they're economically contributing. That is not what is happening. That is not what is happening when you get Afghan refugees, Senegalese, Haitian refugees. In the case of Afghan refugees, Harrison, you guys have covered this, nearly half of them, 47% of them, are on food stamps. 25% of Haitians are on food stamps. I'm sorry. We're not going to make America great again with Afghans or Haitians or the Chinese or the Indians. We're going to make America great again with, get this, Americans. That's why the North Star, Harrison, can't be made in America. It has to be not three words, but five. Made in America by Americans. If we go and build out a new facility, a car factory, whatever the case is, but it's staffed with South Koreans and Indians and Taiwanese, that is not helping our country. It might quite literally boost the GDP or the stock of some of these companies because they're able to use cheap third world labor and boost their profit margins. But how on earth does it help us? We are being replaced in our own country, and I am sorry, but I'm not going to apologize for it. Now is not a time for pleasantries or political correctness. If Byron Donalds wants to continue to take money from AIPAC, corporate donors, the H-1B lobby, he cannot be our governor. I am in this race for one reason. We have to protect our people. And right now, our people are under attack.
And again, why do you think the Republicans are so hesitant to make that argument? Again, you're just exactly right. It's clearly the most compelling argument. It's clearly happening. Everybody with eyes can see it. Republicans are like allergic to this. And it's just infuriating and economically viable. It sounds like the people of Florida are about to be aborted. That's what it sounds. It sounds like an excuse the leftists use to abort a fetus. It's not economically viable. Why are they still making these statements? That's just what I don't understand. That it's like, even if it's there, because I need the Republicans to win, because I know if the Democrats get into power, they will start throwing people in prison who have never committed a crime. And I'm probably very much on the top of that list. So I need the Republicans to win. I need them to pull their heads out of their butts. Why are they so suicidally dedicated to these ideas that are just absolutely replacing American citizens? That's what's happening. Call it the Great Replacement. Call it whatever you want. It's clearly happening. And as you point out, we're gonna have a South Korean company come over, and they're gonna staff it with Mexicans. And then, like, at the end of the day, the only benefit we get is tax dollars, which our government just sends on foreigners anyway. So it's like we're just the location of the scams, I guess. And that's all we are to them. And I need them to get over that. I need them to put the American people first, because otherwise they're going to lose the election. They're going to give over power to the Democrats, and we're all going to be screwed at that point. What is wrong with them, James? Can you help me understand this?
Well, this is a much bigger debate division that's happening in the Republican Party. Do we want to go back to the toxic politics of the Koch brothers, who wanted to bring in cheap third world labor so they could boost their profit margins? Do we want to look at GDP or the stock market or another round of NVIDIA or OpenAI investment in the hundreds of billions? And, you know, you can't eat that stuff, right? It's like, how do you pay for your groceries when OpenAI wants to open another AI data center? What is our North Star going to be? Here's my North Star. And if I were given this awesome responsibility by my fellow Floridians to serve as their governor for 4, maybe even 8 years, I would want to be judged on one statistic alone. What percentage of 30-year-old men are married and own their home? Why? Because that's a pretty darn good way of taking a temperature of how our people are doing. Look, if you own your home, you're not signed up for the 50 years of debt slavery. If you own your home, you probably have a foundation for yourself to start a family. If you own your home, it probably means you got a great paying job. If you're married, it means you're not falling to the vices in society, the vices of pornography, the vices of alcohol, of marijuana, of hard drugs. You're probably not sleeping around, obviously, if you're married. Your quality of life, your happiness is so much higher. And so I'm not going to look at the stock market. I think the stock market going up is great. I don't want to discount the benefits to pension funds or to 401ks or retirement accounts. That is a necessary condition, I believe, the stock market and GDP going up. But it is not a sufficient condition. I'll give you one example, Harrison. If we were to wake up tomorrow, instead of annexing Greenland, we were going to annex the country of Haiti, our GDP would go up by about $50 billion. That's the GDP of Haiti. Would that make Americans better off if we annexed Haiti and brought them all here and made them citizens? Our GDP literally would go up the next day by $50 billion, but none of us would be better off. And so we need a better way to think about economic prosperity, because the line isn't it. The GDP isn't it. The stock market isn't it. And I think it's time for the Republican Party. We had this debate, really this awakening, when President Trump, then candidate, came down the golden escalator in the summer of 2015. But what are we going to obsess over? Are we going to obsess over what is good for business or what is good for workers? We have an affordability crisis in this country, and I'm sorry, it is not a Democrat con job. Now, granted, the Democrats are in no position to be lecturing President Trump about affordability when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris printed $5 trillion and drove up inflation to 25%, the worst level in 40 years. But just because the Democrats did wrong doesn't mean we can't do better. Enough with the finger pointing. Enough with the neocon shills. Enough with the establishment hackery. We have to stop making excuses and start making America great again. And the way to do that is to say Americans are going to be the key to the success. To your point, if we have a South Korean car company open up shop in Florida and hire a bunch of Haitians, Mexicans, and Cubans to do that, all that work, how does that help us? Our GDP will have gone up, our gross national product will have gone up, our stock prices will have gone up, but our actual economy, the real people that are behind the greatness of America, that will not have moved an inch. I'm running for governor to stand up for those people. They don't have a voice right now because the establishment, the Uniparty, which has two branches, the Republicans and the Democrats, has betrayed them, especially in the wake of the Great Replacement.
Absolutely. Yeah, could not agree with you more. And I was talking about this yesterday, so in an inverted way, but, you know, looking at the suicide rates of farmers and veterans, you know, we need a different metric, because obviously the numbers going up on a graph has very little to do with the tangible reality on the ground. But things like the suicide rate, like how do we get that number down? How do we get the number of homeowners at age 30 up? These are things that actually matter and have a tangible, impact on people's lives, not just stock market prices, which are all fixed anyway. What can Florida do to stop the exploitation of BlackRock and these types of things? I know you talked about stopping them from buying houses. I think that's fantastic. Can the state do that? I mean, what powers does Florida have to prevent the exploitation of some of these multinationals?
Well, there's two paths here. I'm glad you asked, because let's get really specific on how we can do this. If we agree on the what, let's go to the how. The how is two paths. We can work through the legislature, but to tell you the truth, that's a bunch of Democrats who identify as Republicans. They're all trans as far as I'm concerned. What I would actually do is use the full power of the court system. I would sue Blackstone, BlackRock for anti-competitive monopolistic practices in our housing market. I would get a restraining order from a federal judge to block any further home purchases while that works through the court system. So then we have the ability to then go to the legislature and say, look, this is a fait accompli. This is going to happen no matter what. You better get on board or y'all guys are going to get primaried in 2028. And so I'm going to play hardball, because realize I'm not going to have many allies. I'm an outsider. I'm the anti-establishment candidate. I got Republicans attacking me these days just as much as Democrats. And so I'm going to do what's right for Florida. And to your point, to the 30-year-old man who wants to buy that home, but who's going to have to compete and bid against multi-billion-dollar hedge funds and private equity firms, people who want to turn our housing market into an Airbnb tourist attraction, foreign nationals from China and Canada who want to buy that home, take it off the market only to stay a couple weeks out of the year in it. That is not the promise of home ownership. Our founding fathers would be disgraced by the idea that the free market has taken precedence over a free people. The free market generally works, but remember, it is a means to an end. If the free market were the goal, Harrison, there'd be a slave auction happening right now outside of the InfoWars studios in Austin. There isn't, because we recognize that the moral repugnancy of slavery was more important, calling that out and ending it, than keeping up the free market, preserving the free market, protecting the capitalistic ideas of the free market. The goal should be a free people. And people are not free when they have to compete against billionaire institutions and Chinese nationals and Airbnb just to buy their first home. That home, Harrison, could be the difference between starting a family and not starting a family. That could be the difference between getting married and not getting married, moving out of the ghetto, and Lord knows there's a lot of cultural degeneracy in Florida, and staying in a community where violence and that degeneracy continues to take hold. And so when I think about homeownership, I don't think merely about the asset that allows multi-generational wealth to take place. I also think about the opportunities that opening a new door for my own family, moving out of a one-bedroom apartment, allowed my parents to have my sister, allowed my mom to spend more time at home, allowed my dad to grow his business to work in a better part of town. That is something that has to be essential to the American dream. And that's why I'm running for Florida governor as a Republican.
It gives you dignity. It gives you freedom. And, there's an underlying reality here, which is they are trying to change the very shape of humanity and turn us into this, rental property that they get to exploit to a maximum degree. Amazing stuff. More on the other side with James Fishback. Stay with us, folks.
Tomorrow is the last day to buy any of our incredible supplements at the alexjonesstore.com, the ultramethylene blue, you name it, and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $25 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. That's not the normal buy one, get one free at the same time. This is a massive deal. On some of the deals, if you get like the more expensive supplement, when you buy one of the inexpensive ones, they're break-even or loss leader. AlexJonesApp.com, I'll put that on screen. You get 20% off when you use the app. It's the same shopping cart. So this is crazy, but that's why we can't have these super big sales, because there's got to be some margin of profit there to operate. But we don't mind some loss leaders sometimes, because the products are so good. We have an 80-plus percent reorder rate on the methylene blue, 75% reorder on average for the other products. Nobody in the supplement industry has that reorder level. These are all the best. They're either the best certified private label from a company, or we go to and get a top formula and go and make it even better. But most of our products are simply private labels of already number one, five-star certified, the best. I mean, we don't like to reinvent the wheel around here, okay? Whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the most studied, whatever is the best, that is what you're going to get. That's what people get our supplements and say, my God, I used to take turmeric to give me some relief from pain and inflammation. Well, why is yours so much better? Because the average turmeric's food grade 4%. This is 95%. That's why Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, a small amount, by the way, is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, was the first 95% curcuminoid. And we got a 95% curcuminoid at Bigly at the AlexJonesStore.com. So it's real simple. Our creatine gummies is the highest quality type of creatine there is. Go look it up. You'll look at the name we have. Just ask Rock, is this the best creatine? We'll say absolutely, hands down. Nano concentrated on top of it. I mean, it's just real simple. We treat you like we want to be treated. Plus, we want it to really work so you come back. That's our philosophy. It's real simple. I don't want to sell you something one time. I want a relationship. All I need to do is go to thealexjonesstore.com. Wide a selection of Patriot apparel. What an adventure to wear it. I need the funds. All this stuff's going on. You see, we're still here because we're fighting them tooth and nail, okay? And if they shut us down, we just go right over to the Alex Jones Network at thealexjonesstore.com, also financed, which I don't own, so they can't shut that down. I don't own thealexjonesstore.com. Bigly does. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. They do. But I need your support. And let me tell you something. Something like Ultra DNA Revival is an NAD plus booster. And it's got the precursor of NAD, because most people don't absorb NAD. Don't know what that does? Well, you need to look into it. That's just one of the ingredients. Big dose, high quality organic NAD. The precursor. Because it's the precursor you're able to absorb. Okay? This cleans out your cells. This turbocharges your body. This gives you clarity, energy, focus, makes your telomeres last longer. This goes great with the methylene blue. Also, a ridiculous name, but it actually is true. I didn't come up with a name for this. Ultimate power. we said, hey, make something even better than Turbo Force with natural clean energy without the letdown. This is even stronger than Turbo Force, which was amazing. If you like Turbo Force, get Ultimate Power.
When the robots rise, the skies turn red and the cities burn cold. Circuits hunt the weak and mercy's just a broken code. Only the strong will survive the purge. Only the men of the InfoWar stand ready, armed with truth when the machines bring war.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Best-selling song of all time. Y'all know that? Best-selling song of all time. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Incredible stuff. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Remember to support us at thealexjonesstore.com. It's the only way that we stay on air. It's the only funding that we get. We don't have big pharmaceutical companies. We don't have any companies telling us what to say, what we can't say, who we can have as guests, who we can't have as guests. It's you. It's entirely you. If the audience likes what we do, I hope you support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com, getting a fantastic product at 40% off, by the way, 40% off the entire store. Supplements, t-shirts, hats, everything, 40% off right now with the 12 days of Christmas sale. But you keep us on the air. You keep us in the fight. And if you don't like what we do, you don't do that and we go away. It's really capitalism at its purest form. Capitalism is going to be a subject of conversation here in this final segment. As I have my guest, James Fishback, you can follow him on X at J_Fishback, fishback2026.com. He's running to be Florida's next governor to replace Ron DeSantis. And those are some pretty big shoes to fill. I mean, I didn't like that he went against Trump during the primary, but he's had massive success in Florida. What is your take on the DeSantis administration? What lessons from DeSantis' time have you taken in, and how is that going to change the way that you govern?
Well, for me, Harrison, it's starting with the fact that Ron DeSantis is the greatest governor we've ever had in Florida, number one. Number two, I think he just does things. He doesn't wait around for the legislature or courts or the federal government. He just does things. I mean, imagine if Ron DeSantis had waited to see what Fauci wanted him to do next. He would have done absolutely nothing. And so the beauty of this is that we have to stand up and say, no one's going to save us. No one, not DC, not the elite institutions, not our court system. We actually have to act on our own. And so if there's one thing I admire from the governor that I would want to emulate, is this idea of just do stuff, break things, move fast, so long as you're delivering for your people.
Yeah, I think that could be another good motto for you. You can just do things. Vote Fishback. I mean, because that's what is frustrating, is like, what do we have to do? We suffer, we campaign, we get our guy in office, and then nothing happens. And we get all sorts of excuses, all sorts of reasons, and just nothing happens. And all we want is for them to do things. Just do things for us, by the way. And, you know, the Republicans obviously have a lot of things wrong with them. And I think one of the things, you sort of touched on it, is this devotion to capitalism as a concept, even though capitalism doesn't really exist in our world right now. It's very much controlled market as it stands, with these major players like BlackRock and Vanguard manipulating things to their own ends. But it's not capitalism was never what America was fighting for. Capitalism just sort of exists as a consequence of freedom. When people are free to do what they want, they will exchange goods and both make a profit, and you call that capitalism. But the Republicans have sort of replaced the outcome of freedom, capitalism, with the ultimate goal, and they prioritize capitalism too much. And it's damaging us, because the socialists out there are listening to the young people, they're hearing the young people are frustrated, and they're actually giving them solutions. Now, the solutions are retarded, don't get me wrong, they're not good solutions, but they're at least making the case. Republicans seem incapable of making a case, you know, for the economic well-being of younger people, because they have this devotion to capitalism. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Absolutely. The question ultimately is, what are we fighting for? Are we fighting to preserve an economic system, or are we fighting to preserve people? And by the people, I mean Americans. I don't mean a Haitian who got here 3 weeks ago and suddenly wants to call themselves an American, even though they can't recite our pledge or can't name one fact of history about this country. We don't have a capitalist system as it stands today. If we had a capitalist system, an AI data center would have to pay its own way. It wouldn't foist its electric bill costs on local consumers. If we had a capitalist system, Blackstone and BlackRock wouldn't be rigging our markets by taking money from the Chinese Communist Party by the tens of billions and rigging our markets and buying up our homes. If we had a capitalist system, you'd be able to grow your own food on your own land, and no one could tell you otherwise. If we had a capitalist system, people wouldn't force you to take an experimental vaccine and then threaten to fire you if you didn't. All of those things that we are told do not exist in our current capitalist system, because they cannot, because they are antithetical to capitalism. So the first thing is to recognize we don't have capitalism in its purest form. The second thing is that capitalism in its purest form is not really the goal we should be striving for. The question is one of liberty. Who do we want liberty for? I think we can agree, Harrison, we both want liberty, but liberty for whom? The liberty for corporations to do as they please? The liberty for foreign nationals to come here and stay at our hotels for free, go into our emergency rooms and have us pay their bills? The liberties of H-1Bs to come here from India and fire our workers and then force our newly fired employees to train their foreign replacements? Who is the liberty really for? If the liberty is for everyone, then quite literally, it is for no one. Liberty should only be reserved for American citizens, because the second we start handing out liberty like lollipops, we dilute its value, and then it becomes a free-for-all. We become an economic zone, which we're not. We're a nation. We have to preserve our history and our people, or we will lose it. And right now, we are losing that right before our eyes.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, liberty requires good morals, and liberty requires safety. And if you're, I've pointed out many times that there's a woman in Memphis, and after Trump sent the National Guard to Memphis, she is giving an interview and she says, "I can let my kids play in my backyard and not worry about them getting shot." And it's like, if you can't play in your own backyard, you're not free. Like that means you're not free if you can't go in your own backyard and not feel safe. So safety's a requirement for liberty. And I think people just don't understand what liberty is at this point. But on the topic of H-1B visas, I know this is a big thing for you, and it's just coincidental. I got a message from a user on X, Neon White Cat, and he said, "I have verified people contacting me within the private sector and government telling me about a recent random Indian manager hiring. The managers don't know even basic things and continue to work to attempt to take over multiple groups and hiring. All of a sudden, more Indians have shown up. They're driving everybody else crazy. This is happening with federal contractors at insane levels with sensitive info positions." Now, as soon as he posts this, his account starts to get reported. And he says, "You're under an invasion. After posting about federal insider groups being taken over by Indian managers and contractors, I got multiple mass reports against my account. This is 100% the Indian government backed. This is BRICS attacking the United States." And of course, you can see where all of these things have been reported, even though they're not hateful. People are reporting him and trying to get his account taken down. So, and I thought it was interesting, he expanded it out to say, no, this is the Indian government doing this. This is the Indian government, who's a BRICS nation, using, you know, sending their people into America. And then when anybody points it out, they use their sort of bot armies to go after them. I mean, do you see what India is doing with H-1Bs as like a government program? Is this individuals we're worried about? Or how does this play on the larger geopolitical stage with the way Indians are moving into this country?
It is actually an existential threat to the country, because when they can come and infiltrate our state and federal governments and take sensitive information, just assume for a second they weren't here to steal our jobs and steal our homes and our way of life, which they definitely are doing, but they were just here to work jobs that no one else were to work. We have foreign nationals from a country that, honestly, India is not our ally. Why on earth would India be our ally when they're turning around and buying Russian oil, when they're turning around and cooperating with the Chinese communists? It doesn't make any sense. And so the big part of it is that the H-1B system actually props up the Indian economy, because you can have up to a third of the income of an H-1B from India gets sent right back home in the form of remittances. If we are serious about mass deportations, we won't just deport the illegals who are a threat. We'll deport the so-called legal immigrants who continue to pose a threat to our country. Look, we need to be taxing remittances. We need to block illegal immigrant children from going to our schools. We need to get tough on this issue, because if we don't, we won't have a country anymore, Harrison. And that's why, and you guys wrote about this actually last week, this particular policy proposal I put forward, but that's why that on my first day in office, I would instruct our public schools to unenroll any student who cannot prove that they are a United States citizen from our schools. Our public schools are funded by American taxpayers for American students. When I walked into a school in Hendry County in Southwest Florida earlier this year, there was 21 kids in a classroom, six of whom did not speak English, were not from America, and were not citizens. They were here illegally. When they are in that class, they are holding back every other student, because the teacher has to teach to the six kids who don't speak English, and then to the others who do speak English. And then for the kids who don't speak English, school just becomes glorified daycare. We have to get real about the invasion of our country. If we drop off 50 million Somalis in the middle of Minnesota and call it legal, does that make it okay? The two people that came here from Afghanistan who are raping young women in Illinois, and they were legally here, does that make it okay? Does the Afghan refugee who shot two National Guardsmen in Washington, D.C., who is here legally, does that make it okay because he was here legally? Of course not. We have to get real that the mass invasion of our country, legal or illegal, is wrong, and it has to end. And that's why I was especially disappointed to see Byron Donalds actually vote for the very bill in the summer of 2021 that reduced the vetting requirements for Afghan refugees. I'm sorry, I don't want 100% vetting of the Afghanis. I want 100% deportation of the Afghanis. I want every single one of them rounded up tomorrow and sent back to Kabul. They bring nothing to the table, nothing. Send every single one of them home. Every single Haitian, every single H-1B needs to get out of our country. It is a disgraceful insult to say that Americans cannot contribute to America anymore when we literally built this country. It was not Indians who helped us get to the moon. It was not Indians who invented the internet. It was not Indians working with the Wright brothers in North Carolina. It was Americans. It was white Christian men. I'm sorry. Stop apologizing. Neon Cat, he's a good friend. He's a patriot. The fact that he would get essentially slandered with this hate speech allegation that he is being racist for pointing out the obvious fact that if you walk into a tech company this day, the entire 10th floor is full of Indians. There's not a single white person, not a single black person in the entire company. What on earth is that? The great replacement is poisoning our country, poisoning the blood of our country. And I'll tell you right now, we have to get serious about this. We have to start really taking this to the fullest degree, or we will not have a country anymore.
Oh, I completely agree, and it's extremely powerful. And the crew brought up this other tweet while we were at it. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella announces a plan to invest $17.5 billion in India to support the country's ambitions. In 2025, this year alone, Microsoft laid off over 15,000 American employees while receiving approval for 7,425 H-1B visas. So, you know, they're willing to train the people over there. They're willing to invest $17.5 billion in India, but can't manage to build anything here, can't manage to hire people here in America. I mean, it's clearly a deliberate takeover. And even just the population sizes by themselves, point out many times, you can literally replace one-to-one every single American citizen with an Indian. There'd still be a billion Indians in India trying to get over here. So it's not like there's a cap where eventually we get to a certain point. It's like, that's all of them. Okay, we got them all here. Like, there's a literally endless supply. If we don't cut off the tap, we will be flooded. That's just the way it is. Okay, and we don't have to stand for this. But how do you make that case? Because it's hard enough to get people to go along with deporting illegal immigrants. I agree with you. The legal label is ridiculous. Somehow we can bring in 10 million people, but it's impossible to get a million out. Like, this is ridiculous. How do you make that case, though? How do you make the case of deporting legal immigrants?
Well, you make the case by looking at the actual facts on the ground. Say what you want about the fake news, Harrison. The only thing they got right about the Springfield story with the Haitians is that the Haitians were not illegal immigrants. They were here legally. They were given BSTPS, which is temporary protected status after an earthquake that happened 15 years ago. And somehow, some way, they're still in our country. Look, the brave thing for Haitians, Indians, Chinese to do is not to come here and break into our country and exploit the legal immigration system. The brave thing for them to do is stay right where they are and to make their countries great. We got some things we need to fix here, but let me talk about how I would actually fix this issue, because people will wax poetically and will throw up their hands and say, you know what, you can't do that. That's a federal issue. You're just blowing smoke. Absolutely not. I call cap on that right now. Here's how you do it. You pull all these tech companies, every single contractor that has business with the state of Florida. Microsoft, for example, we got tens of thousands of licenses for Microsoft Office. We have a license with cloud computing for Microsoft Azure. And we say, look, it'd be a shame if your H-1Bs didn't have a place to work anymore. It would be a shame if something happened to them. Here's your choice. You can keep your 150 H-1Bs, or you can keep your $150 million a year contract. Your decision, you decide. You got 24 hours and we're not negotiating. You know what they're going to do, Harrison? They're going to look to their fellow Indians and say, I'm sorry, go back to Calcutta, go back to Mumbai. We have to protect this contract. This is about playing hardball with these people. And you know what? We're going to help get our people jobs again, great paying jobs again. 70% of recent college grads in my state cannot get a full-time job in their field of study. That is unacceptable. And you know what? It's not because they studied gender studies. It's not because they studied transgender psychology. It's because they actually took the advice of everyone around them, of our politicians included, study STEM, computer science, engineering, mathematics, all of that. They did it. And then when they got out, they faced a job market that looked like Mumbai as opposed to America. That is wrong. And so I'm not going to pretend to play hardball with the legislature. I'm not going to pretend to work with the establishment hacks who are already bought and paid for, like Byron Donalds on the H-1B issue. I'm going to go in there, roll up my sleeves, and negotiate like President Trump has successfully done time and again with the trade system. He didn't have Congress negotiate these trade deals that have brought in hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue. Congress couldn't tie its shoe if they had to go to a committee vote. What you have to do is you need a bold leader who can actually wake up and say, I'm sorry, I know what time it is. I'm not going to let our college grads get replaced. And speaking of our college grads for a moment, Harrison, I disagree with the president when he came out a couple weeks ago and said that because of the Chinese trade deal, we have to welcome 600,000 Chinese students. I am sorry, I don't know what went on with your Chinese negotiation, but I got nothing to do with that, and neither does our state. We're the third largest state in the country, which would mean we could end up having to take upwards of 100,000 of these Chinese students at FSU, at UF, at UCF, at FGCU. We're not doing it, Harrison. So here's what I do on day one, and this is pure executive power. It's perfectly lawfully allowed. I'm going to direct our Board of Governors, which oversees all of our state universities, to raise tuition on every single foreign national to $1 million a year. And when they can't pay it up front within 48 hours, guess what? Their admission spot will be given to an actual Floridian who is from here, who went to high school here. And when they graduate from UF or USF or FSU, they're going to stay in their state and contribute, start a small business, work for the state government, actually do something meaningful, as opposed to come here and pillage our state, take our resources, take a third of their income, send it home for remittances. That is not the kind of economic system that our ancestors fought and died for.
Yeah, and again, what you're pointing to is this underlying trend where you're a sucker if you do what you're supposed to in America these days. If you do what you're told to do, if you do all the right things, you really are a sucker. If you're a scam artist, you're doing great. If you're a criminal, you're let out of prison with a big bouquet of flowers. Like, if you're a terrible person that's hurting everybody around you and dependent on the government, your life is made for you. But if you work hard, you're the one with the burden of taxes. If you, you know, get good grades in school, you're the one who's going to have to be competing against a worldwide scab worker population. So it's like time and time again, the American people are being like convinced that doing the right thing, being a moral person, doing what you're supposed to do to contribute to society is really a sucker's game, because you're just going to end up broke and exploited by the end of it, when really you could do better exploiting other people. It's this dog-eat-dog world that's being created that sort of underlies a lot of what you're describing, isn't it?
That's exactly right. If you play by the rules, guess what? Your country gets stolen from you. The only way to get ahead is to essentially wake up tomorrow and call yourself some Indian surname or pretend to be an illegal immigrant. And there's going to be all these benefits for you. Harrison, when people came here in the 1800s, when they went to Ellis Island, they weren't handing out food stamps. They weren't handing out Obama phones. They weren't handing out Medicaid. They weren't giving you gift cards to some of the finest hotels in New York City. I'm sorry. The immigrants who are coming in today are going to destroy our country unless we push for a complete immigration moratorium. I say this as someone who respects the fact that no, immigrants are not who founded America, but have in fact have played a role in our history. And that history, if we do not respect the fact that our borders must be protected, and I'm not just talking about illegal immigration right now, I'm talking about all of the H-1B, EB-2, F-1, all of that crap. These companies will have the unmitigated gall, the unfettered audacity to wake up and look at me and look at you and look at workers, Harrison. And you know what they'll say? They'll say, we can't find Americans for these roles. Cap. Lie. BS. You know what? You can't find Americans who will work for your slave wages. That's what you can't do. You can't find Americans who will allow you to exploit them like you exploit Indians, illegals, Chinese, and South Americans. Don't you dare slander Americans because they don't want to be indentured servants. Don't you dare look at white men and white women and black men and black women across our state and say, you know what? They don't want to pick oranges. They don't want to pick strawberries. Look, if you put that job out at a market wage of $25, $30 an hour, which would be a going wage in a fair market condition without even any government intervention, then guess what? You'd have a lot of people out there lined up to do the work. Because in America, we will always do an honest day's work for an honest day's wage. Stop pretending. It's not racist to call out Indians who have come to our country and stolen our jobs. It is not racist to look around and say crime is infesting our cities. It is not racist or xenophobic to say that the great replacement is real, because it is. And the sooner we accept it and stop apologizing for it, the second that happens, we can actually start winning again and saving our country. I think President Trump is doing a lot of the incredible work at the federal level, but our founders, as you know, Harrison, they believed in federalism. They believed in the separation between, no, not the church and state, between the federal government and the state government. Right. And my job, if given this awesome responsibility from my fellow Floridians, would be to fight for what we can do at the state level. The 10th Amendment is hugely underrated. It says that what is not explicitly enumerated for the federal government is explicitly reserved for the states and her people. That's us. That's everyone in Florida, from Mariana to Miami, Pensacola to Pahokee, Fort Lauderdale, where I grew up, to Fort Myers, where I was last week. We've got to be really honest about the risks here. And I got to tell you, this race is going to be most competitive in the primary, because if we don't tackle this establishment hackery in the primary, the establishment hack known as H1 Byron, then guess what? It doesn't matter what happens in the general. You're going to have an H1B shill as a Republican, an H1B shill as a Democrat, an APAC shill as a Republican, an APAC shill as a Democrat. You might as well just stay at home, because it won't matter at that point. We've got to hire, and I say hire because it really is a job interview. We have to hire, we have to elect an America First, Florida First patriot. I believe that I am that person, but I'm never going to ask my state to blindly trust me. I'm going to ask for the opportunity to earn their trust. That's why I announced this campaign 2 weeks ago, 4 million views in our announcement video. And I got to tell you, over the coming months, I'm going to visit all 67, or as the kids say, 6-7 counties in our state. No county is too big or too small, Harrison, to take this America First vision directly to voters, not to give stump speeches, not to go out and speak off of a teleprompter like Byron does, but to talk for 5 or 10 minutes and then to spend the other hour and a half taking questions directly from the people.
Well, I hope you do well, not just because you seem to be right on all of these topics, but as a lesson to the Republicans that they need to get on board, or they're going to get blown out of the water by people like yourselves. Again, I think this is an existential crisis for our country, and if they don't take on the stances you are propagating, then we're lost. So I really hope that your victory can be an alarm bell to them. And of course, you talk about the migrant workers. I mean, Florida used to have black and white migrant workers. And maybe the orange groves are like the best example, because there used to be black and white migrant workers that would work the jobs, and it wasn't super well paying, but it was a living. They all got replaced by Hispanic people, and then a Chinese virus came in and killed all the oranges. So it's like, that's the example of what's happening to our country right now. And if we can reverse that, we can save the country. Obviously, people can go to fishback2026.com, J_fishback on X. How else can people support you? Obviously, you don't have the backing of the Republican Party. What can people do to contribute to your campaign?
Well, if they're in an economic position to do so, we'd be honored to have their donation. But in this economy, I'm not going to ask anybody to donate who can't. What we could really use the help on is volunteers. Fishback2026.com. Sign up, volunteer an hour or two a week, even a month, to send text messages, to knock on doors, to get this message out. Look, he has money, we have Americans. He has APAC, we have Americans. He has the H-1B lobby, we have Americans. We need to fight for our country. I'm sorry, but Byron Donald has done absolutely nothing. This is the guy who's been in Congress for 5 years and hasn't codified not a single one of President Trump's executive orders. He's allowed Congress to spend more and more and voted for every single spending package that spends more money that we don't have on things that we don't need for people who should not even be in our country. I'm in this race, Harrison, because Florida is our home. America is our birthright. And we cannot let anyone, Republican or Democrat or corporation, steal that from us.
Cannot agree more. I mean, I this is really going to be a bellwether race. And I got to, as a Texan, I got to say, Florida already got one great governor. Can we get a great governor already? You're going to go from Ron DeSantis to James Fishback, and we're left over here with wheels, as we call them. It's a very sad thing. I shouldn't have said that. That was mean. But I'm serious. Florida seems to have all the best politicians, and I'm jealous. James Fishback, you really have already done incredible things in the 2 weeks that you've been running, and I can't wait to see what comes next. Follow James at J_Fishback on X, fishback2026.com. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for joining us. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Support us 12 days of Christmas.
So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free. So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultra Methylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox. Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Ultimate power drink mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate power drink mix, two great flavors, now available at DeltaStore.com. High quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. It's a private label, one of the top NAD plus products in the country. Atomic Defense, incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn, to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra, great for your brain. The Tallow Balm, we never talk about enough. Optimal Human, the ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com, and it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.